Spilling the tea on Hollywood's A-listers.
Kardashians.
I have met every single one.
Exposing scandals.
Because she's not a good person, but either is he.
Digging the dirt.
Is she a diva? Yes.
And finding out what's going on behind the scenes.
Yelling at cast members?
Yes.
It was a script.
Nah.
His identity is a secret.
But his stories have been proven right time and time again.
This is Enty.
He's exposed more of Hollywood than the bloody cloud. Enty, good morning.
Morning.
How are you, Nick? I don't trust that cloud. Yeah, do you trust the cloud, Ben?
No, not particularly.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the cloud. We put all our stuff in this cloud and I don't know, it feels like my nudes could get out there at any moment, Enty.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about this. It's like, okay, who's controlling the cloud, you know? Well, the number one person controlling it generally is Jeff Bezos, right? Because Amazon Web Services, I believe, is the largest cloud thing in the world. But we went from having just in our own personal thing, right, saved to your phone, and then it was just there forever, and nobody had access to it unless they hacked your phone. Now you don't know who has access to it, right? Can everybody at AWS see your passwords and all of this kind of stuff? We already know that we talked several months ago. We talked, and you guys said some words out loud, and the next thing you know, old producer Ben got served an ad for it.
Yeah.
Right? So we were talking about it. So how does that happen? They're always listening. They know everything. So if you have nudes on there, just make sure they're classy.
That's a great tip. Great bit of life advice. Enty, this week, some news that Justin Bieber could be having a baby with Hailey Bieber. Now, I'd love to play a song now, but I just can't think of an appropriate one.
Yeah, okay. I've been of two minds of this. I thought so. But I saw her last night, and I got to say that she doesn't really look pregnant. And the rumors have been going on now for several months. And so you would think, okay, well, 3 or 4 months she would start to show. It's entirely possible. But also, like 2-3 weeks from now, there's the UK version of the Met Gala. It's going to be called Vogue World, which I believe sounds a lot like Spice World, the movie. And she's supposed to attend with Justin. And, you know, so that means that she would have had like some kind of custom fit dress and everything. So I don't know. I'm leaning more and more towards no now.
Oh, can we back the truck up?
You saw her last night. What was going on?
No, I mean, she had this Rode beauty event launch and Justin was there. All dressed up in his sweatpants and Crocs.
And you were there too. Did you talk to them?
No, I wasn't there. No, let me make clear. I wasn't there. It was New York. I only go to New York in the fall.
I love it when the seems like the more famous you get, the more you can just wear whatever you want to anything. I mean, no one else apart from Justin Bieber is getting into that event in track pants and Crocs.
Yeah, a yellow Crocs and a backwards hat.
Yeah.
You know, when you reach a certain age, I think that the backward hat needs to go.
I've suffered the same fate recently, Enty. Hat backwards in the house. I went to walk outside, and my kids are like, Dad, your hat. And I was like, you're right.
I mean, she was so well-dressed, and this was so important to her. And, you know, sweats and Crocs. So it's just like, okay.
It's also such a versatile outfit too, because you can wear it to pack and save on a Wednesday morning as well. It's really fantastic. So you don't think there's a baby on the way? That's the takeaway?
Yeah. I mean, I know that they have been trying, but I'm saying it right now, probably not. Just, you know, I guess we'll know in 2 weeks if she backs out of the gala or whatever, because or she's having a dress made to fit exactly how she is now. But I don't know. It looked pretty. She looked pretty slim yesterday. So
okay, all right. Well, now we don't want to get too political on this chat, because it is about Hollywood and celebrities. But Donald Trump, he's using his mugshot when he got arrested as sort of publicity. He's raising lots of funds. Could it happen again, Enty? Could he become president of the United States?
Yeah, I mean, he could, for sure. I think that, you know, at some point, maybe there'll be, you know, too many scandals or whatever. There's a lot of people, you know, running for president from the Republican Party, and nobody's really kind of, you know, looked out and said, oh, I'm the front runner or anything like that, because there's so many people running, and so it's hard to you know, stand out and be noticed. And so he is an unknown factor in the Republican Party. He's certainly extremely popular still in the Republican Party. And, you know, once if you can get the nomination, then, you know, then it's just a one-on-one and anything can happen. So, he certainly could be. And, it doesn't surprise me that he's fundraising off the mugshot. I think that when you're a politician, you fundraise off anything you can, any kind of bit of attention. Like if you get attention for, I forget what Marco Rubio did 4 years ago or something. He did something and he slipped up and then he started, you know, selling merch or whatever with that. Even Joe Biden, when they call him Dark Brandon, he started selling stuff like that. Because you're just always looking for some way to raise money. And, you know, that's what they have to do. It's very rare that there's a politician who doesn't have to call people and raise money. I think it's a little known fact that in the U.S., most, especially our Congress, our lower representatives, whatever, the ones that are elected every 2 years, they probably spend 20 hours a week, maybe 30 hours a week, sometimes more, on the phone trying to raise money.
Oh, really? It's like I love the shot too. He's looking like he's got the face of someone who's just killed a man, but he's got a very blue steel eye, doesn't he? Staring up at the camera there. Very male model.
blue steel, right? I think that he knew how he wanted to look and the angle that he was going to go for, because he was, I think, last to get the photos taken. So he saw, or his people saw, okay, well, look, this is how the angle is. This is what the color is. And because everybody else had gone pretty much the day before. So I think that they kind of knew what they were trying to do. And I'm sure that they knew that they were going to try and sell merch and stuff off of it.
I wonder if he got to review the photos afterwards, the photo shoot.
Have a look at him. Have you met him? Have you met Donald Trump? Have you run into him over the years?
I have not met him. Again, it's a more of a New York thing. And I'm LA, so I have not met Donald Trump.
He feels like every scandal that comes along, even leading into the last presidential election. No, you've had adult film stars, you've had affairs, you've had sexual misconduct scandal. It feels like he just embraces every scandal and weathers the storm, and the followers love him even more.
Yeah, you know, it's a complete departure from, you know, if you think about, let's go back. Let's go back to like the first time that Joe Biden ran for president. And I don't remember when it was, maybe like 1984 or 1988, something like that. he had to withdraw because they found out that he had plagiarized a paragraph or something like that. And in some kind of article that he had written, he had plagiarized a paragraph. So everybody determined that he wasn't presidential. You know, or, you know, it just the slightest little thing and you're like, oh, no, I have to resign. I can't run. You know, mm-hmm. We just looked at, and then Trump just kind of blew that out of the water and said, we'll do anything. Like Obama got criticized for wearing a tan suit as president. You know, like the noise was deafening. But, you know, Trump just said, hey, you know what? You guys already know I'm a reality star. I've had a lot of, you know, women in my life and stuff. And so I'm just going to just go along and nothing's going to affect me. And I think that people were so expecting him to, I think it was maybe the Access Hollywood tape. I think they expected him to just say, oh, I'm going to resign. I think that most political pundits said, oh, he's going to resign here. He did not resign, but, you know, not run anymore. But no, he just kept going. And I think it just like, okay, this is a different thing. He's just going to go right through all the scandals and it doesn't matter. And now I think what you see is you don't see anybody resigning from Congress or Senate for any bad thing that they do. You know, they're just not going to. And you know, we've got guys like George Santos or whatever, who's under indictment and stuff like that. He's not. 10 years ago, he would have resigned before he even got indicted.
Yeah.
And now he's just like, you know, I'm staying. And then Congress is just saying, yeah, go ahead and stay. You know, it wasn't like that before. You know, like you guys last month, you had the justice minister, right, arrested, and she resigned the next day.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, Trump would have been cancelled 59 times over in this country.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it just, that's the way it is. I think, like, the way it was, like, in New Zealand with the justice minister, I mean, obviously it was something more tragic and everything. But yeah, I think that most people, if something bad happens, they generally resign or choose not to run or whatever.
Hey, well,
and you kind of blew that out of the water.
A shout out to the local reference there too, Enty. Local topical government events there. Crowbar into the conversation. Beautiful work. We are with Enty live from Hollywood. Markle, Harry, you've heard rumors that they've split up or they're going to divorce.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that he becomes less important to her the more money that she makes. I think that what they've discovered is that they have separate interests and that he doesn't really want to do anything in life except, you know, occasionally putter around and come up with some kind of project. You know, if you think about the royal family in general, it feels like a lot of like grand opening. You know, it feels like let's go cut the ribbon at this or let's go do this, because there's not really any substantive policy stuff for the most part because of the fact that, you know, they have an elected government. And so I think that that's how Harry grew up. And I think that Harry has certain things that he wants to do and some causes that are near and dear to his heart, like Invictus Games and stuff like that. And then he's going to go to Africa and perhaps film a documentary and stuff. And I think that those are near and dear to his heart. And that's what he wants to do. Meanwhile, Meghan would like to, you know, she had Netflix buy this movie project. There's talk now that she wants to maybe cast herself as the lead in that or get back into acting and try and win like an Academy Award. And, you know, and then there she's got the whole social media thing that she's starting up again with Instagram. And I just think that they don't necessarily share the same thoughts in places that they thought that they were going to be.
Because it feels like now the dust has settled and the defecation has dried on the royal family after they unloaded on them. It feels like now they're like us, just like us minions, except with, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, and everybody's making a big deal that Meghan Markle would, you know, $1 million for a social media post. If she got $1 million for a social media post, I wouldn't even put her in the top 20 in the world for how much per post, you know. It's so, it's just like, okay, that's good. But it just shows you, okay, what happened to before when you were, you know, I want to get married. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to do charities and causes and things like that. And now basically you're going to sell waist trainer tea on Instagram for $1 million a shot. So, I mean, how is that any different than anybody else in Hollywood? You know, some kind of influencer.
So $1 million a post, yeah. Ben Boyce, you could be getting $1 million a post.
Oh, geez. So who's making the most, you know, off a post? Like, what sort of people are we talking?
Okay, well, here's the deal. Here's how it goes. You base it on the metric by how many followers and stuff you have. So technically, Ronaldo can charge the most at about $4 million.
A post?
So if you go by the metrics, that's how much. And also, you got to find a company that's willing to pay the $4 million.
Yeah,
and second
right.
of all, it's not like you can post one every single day because then they lose their meaning. So it's not like you can just say, yeah, I'll do this, I'll do this. You know, give me 10 in a row and I'm $40 million. I don't play, you know, football anymore or soccer or whatever. But yeah, so all the Kardashians are in the top 20.
She
if
gets,
you go by metrics and reach.
I'm looking at Kim Kardashian. US dollars, she gets $860,000 per post. So pulling in,
I think it's a little bit more. I think that she gets like 1.1. It like I said, everybody uses slightly different metrics. But yeah, you know, so like $1 million is probably in the ballpark for Meghan. I just think that it's, do you want to be in the same breath, in the same conversation, the same sentence as Khloe Kardashian and Kourtney Kardashian?
Yeah, well, it feels like she's making the leap.
Well, her mom hung out with the Kardashians this week.
I saw that.
Hey, yeah. Meghan Markle's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took her under their wing.
Uh-oh. She seems so sweet. What's her name? What is her name?
Gloria Ragman. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know we spoke to Thomas Markle? Did we tell you that?
No. Yeah. You didn't.
We spoke to him when the documentary came out, and he unloaded.
He did.
He unloaded on her.
Oh really?
Yeah.
How long did you guys let him talk?
It was a long time. It was a long Zoom link. We're only on free Zoom as well. We only had the free 45 minutes or whatever. He is not happy with Meghan Markle.
Yeah, we kind of thought maybe things would be, or he'd be trying to patch things up, but not at that stage. Maybe now.
Maybe. I mean, he paid for her college and everything, right? I mean, she did not go to a cheap school. There is the whole, I did a whole podcast episode years ago on Thomas Markle and Doria, and you know, there's some missing years in their timeline, and then they were involved in kind of a sketch organization and stuff, and I don't remember because it's been like 3 or 4 years since they talked about it, but they have a very interesting history themselves. So but it doesn't surprise me that he went off, because I mean, he took care of her and took care of her and took care of her. And then she gets the prince, and she's like, I can't talk to you anymore.
Breaking news is here. Meghan is really interested to get back into suits. Apparently there's demand for her in suits. And also, she says Prince Harry could be a fantastic actor in Hollywood. That's what she's pitching, Enty.
Yeah, she's not going to go back to suits. And she wants to do movies. She doesn't want to do some cable television show.
She wants to. Okay. Hey, Enty, before we go, actually, speaking of wanting to do movies and stuff, when are movies going to be made again in Hollywood? I feel like we've seen this actors and writers strike. It's been going on for weeks, probably months now. Any sign of it ending?
Yeah, I mean, it's been 40 days for the actors and you know, several months for the writers. I think that... I mean, I kind of stuck to Christmas. I think that, you know, maybe the studios will come around by Christmas. I just think that they have so much stuff that's already there that, like for TV at least, that they don't really care. I think what's happening now, though, is this. Because Netflix has, you know, they're worldwide and they have original programming worldwide. You know, we talked about this before. I don't think you said that they've made any New Zealand stuff, but I get... they probably have made like Australian stuff for Australian Netflix. They definitely in foreign languages like in Norway and Brazil and stuff, they make it. And in Korea this week was a big deal because there's a lot of Korean original Netflix programming. And they say whatever deal that the other guild gets is what we want or we're not going to work.
Oh, right.
And okay, so and so if that spreads around the world, then Netflix is in trouble because how much they need to have that original, you know, same language programming to be in that country. They can't just show a bunch of American stuff with Korean subtitles. They need that original programming too. And so if they're having to pay those guilds U.S. kind of rates and for things like that, this could turn into a huge, huge mess for Netflix, especially if all these other countries that are making the original language programming for them. Because Netflix's plan was, okay, well, we've got all this Korean programming that's already there. So what we'll do if we need to is we can always ship that over to America and put, you know, English subtitles in it, at least to be programming. And they've had success with that. Like Ragnarok, which is a Thor origin story, which is Norwegian, was really popular in the U.S. And it was all in Norwegian. It just had English subtitles. And I think that they think that they can do the same kind of thing. Like they could take the Squid Games kind of formula stuff. But if South Korea is saying, no, we're not going to do that, we want the same deal, then this plan by Netflix kind of goes out the window.
That is, so it's internationally they could all benefit around the world. That's interesting. What are these people doing for money? Because, I mean, there's writers and actors, you know, the large percentage of actors who aren't, you know, the Dwayne Johnsons and the Brad Pitts and the Kevin Harts. How are they paying rent? How are they getting food? Are people donating to them?
Well, don't forget, like I said, like, you know, what the number is, like 85% of actors already didn't qualify for health care. So they're already working other jobs anyway.
Right.
So they're probably just working more hours in those jobs. And then the people, it's the people that were making, let's say, $20,000 a year to $90,000 a year, something like that. You know, that's, they're probably the ones hurting because they probably try to live solely on acting. So then they go get other jobs and stuff. But it's the writers are the ones that I'm worried about because it's such sporadic work. And they've been out on strike for a long time. And I think that should they fold, then everybody folds. It's kind of like they're holding the whole thing up. They're the ones who really wanted the actors to go on strike with them to try and help them out. They wanted the directors to go on strike with them, but the director signed a deal, a horribly unfavorable deal to the directors, but the directors don't care because directors, for the most part, you know, make a lot of money. It was kind of the writers that I'm worried about, and I don't know if they can make it to Christmas or not. I think that people like Bob Iger, you know, the chairman of Disney and stuff, it just thinks, and the memos that you're seeing are just, we're just going to wait these people out until they're so poor and they can't pay rent, and then they'll take any deal we give them.
Which potentially could be worse than the one they already had.
I don't think it'll be worse, but I don't think they, some of the things that they really want protections on, and things like minimum staffing and stuff, or maybe they'll let somebody, you know, define what a showrunner is, which is important right now. And they would say, we want to define it, but in 3 months when they need, you know, to pay rent, will they be, you know, as forceful about having, you know, themselves define what a showrunner is?
Jeez, do you reckon there's people who are in the union who are like, oh, I just want to go back to, I can just, what, can I just take a cheeky little writing job, just writing speeches for corporate MC gigs or something?
Yeah, you could do that.
Oh, that would,
as long as it's not part of the production, as long as it's not somebody represented by the guild, it's the same way the actors are getting around it, by acting with studios that have agreed to what the Screen Actors Guild has done, or, you know, productions, again, and this is gets into the whole international thing, productions, say, like in Ireland or New Zealand, that aren't under the guild, so they can go work there. You know, so I assume that you could probably do the same thing if you are a writer, but, you know, those things are already staffed. It's a lot easier for an actor just to say, oh, yeah, I can fill in over there in New Zealand. They need somebody for 3 days or a week or something like that, rather than, you know, a writer who's trying to find some place in New Zealand to write. And they're like, well, we've already staffed our show and stuff. We might have something for you 6 months from now when the new season starts or whatever. It's a lot harder for a writer.
Jeez. Yeah. Enty, you are an absolute hero. You're one of the greats. One of the greats. Ben Boyce, I keep bigging up Enty here, and I'm making it weird as I'm signing off, but I love your work, Enty. And you go and have a fantastic week over there, and we'll speak next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. You guys have a great week.
See you, mate.